I'd like to invite you tonight over to the book of Romans this evening, Romans chapter 4, begin at verse 20. Romans chapter 4, verse 20. Romans chapter 4, verse 20 reads this way. It says, "He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. We ask, Lord, for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide us into your truth, that we might worship you in truth and spirit. Lord, that you might be glorified and our lives strengthened, Lord, that we might be vessels unto your honor and glory, that we would truly be the witnesses of what you've given, Lord, and what you want to give to the world. Bless tonight, Lord. Help us to hear from you. And we'll praise and thank you, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you a couple of questions here this morning. First, or this evening. First of all, is it night or morning? Well, we know it's nighttime, right? I hope so anyway. Anyway, let me ask you this. Is the Lord in our midst? Is the Word of God true? Even in spite of how we might feel? Is it still true? Even in spite of what the world might say? This is important because this will make the difference in our lives. God wants us to be vessels for His honor and glory. Amen? And here's the beautiful part of it. He wants to do all the work. And may I tell you something? That is a hard concept to grasp. But the more we understand it, the more God reveals that to you and I, the freer you and I will be. It begins with salvation. When we're saved by the grace of God, we have eternally been set free. But if we don't understand that it is God's work in us, we will be in bonds, so to speak, concerning our service to the Lord and what God can do through us if we think that it's up to us to, okay, take it from here and hope for the best. It won't work out that way. But if we realize that salvation is all of God, eternity, and also on this side, we will enjoy Him to a greater extent. So I want to ask you this question. So we're obviously here talking about Abraham not staggering. By the way, that's the title of the message tonight, How Not to Stagger at the Promises of God. Listen, does God want you and I to stagger in unbelief at the promises of God? Does He want us to stagger at His promises? Or does He want us to receive and enjoy and testify of the goodness and mercy of God? God wants us to testify of what He's given to us. That's the best way to do it. Have you ever said, "Let me tell you some good news that happened to me"? Did you ask permission if you could share that good news? Or did you just say, "Let me just tell you what happened to me"? That's what God wants to do in our lives, so that we have something to say to the lost world, and listen, to fellow believers. Let me tell you, I enjoy people telling me, "Let me tell you what God did in my life this week." That's a great place to be. And so as we look at this, let me ask you this. Did Abraham, who we're talking about right here, who was convinced, he was fully persuaded at that what he had promised him, that he was able to perform it there in verse 21. Is that true? That's Abraham. Here's the question, ready? Did Abraham ever doubt the promise of God? Did he? How about Sarah? Did Sarah doubt the promise of God? She laughed. May I tell you and remind you, Abraham laughed before Sarah did. And Abraham said, "Oh, that Ishmael would run, uh-uh." And God said, no, it's not Ishmael. It will be Isaac. It will be through your loins. So Abraham laughed first before Sarah did. Now, we won't look at that tonight, but here's what I want you to see, and this is important. The reason why I share with you, I'm not gloating at the fact that Abraham and Sarah doubted the promises of God. I'm just trying to share with you and I tonight that we're in good company. And because we're in good company, we can also be in the same company of Abraham and Sarah when they did not stagger at the promises of God. And I do want to remind you that Abraham was up in years when he staggered at the promises of God. So we're still in good standing here. It's never too late to walk with God. It's never too late to enjoy all of the promises that God has given. So with that said, we're going to look at three thoughts. We're going to look at basically the promises of God for Abraham, the promises of God for us, and both of them are by the grace of God. All right, so let's look at verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. He's calling those things that are not as though they were. He was looking at Abraham and Sarah and saw the son, even though he wasn't here yet. There was no doubt in the mind of God that Isaac was going to come forth. Let me say that again. There was no doubt in the mind of God that Isaac was going to come forth. Amen? Listen, there is no doubt in the mind of God that he can make you and I holy, and he can sanctify you and I for his honor and glory. There's no doubt in his mind. Verse 18, who against hope, what was that? In other words, it's beyond their ability. Who against hope believed in hope. Listen, physically speaking, it was beyond their ability, but now they were believing in the hope of the promise of God. So in other words, they saw in themselves, they were hopeless. Listen, spiritually speaking, you and I are in the same place. As far as serving the Lord by the glory of God, by the power of God in ourselves, it's beyond our hope. But wait a minute. We've been redeemed. We've been saved. And in that salvation, God has indwelt us with the Comforter, the Helper, the Paraclete, that he would guide us into all truth, that we might understand our salvation and allow God to do his work in our lives, that we might present ourselves that living sacrifice that God wants us to be. All right, so with that, we continue on. Verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. And by the way, that's a good thing for you and I to consider, our body dead in the Lord Jesus Christ. We were buried with him. We died with him. But guess what? Praise God, we also rose with him. By the resurrection, we have the same resurrection power living in you and I because of the grace of God. So when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. God wants to give you and I the same glory. That's his plan. Listen, question, did he save you and I to be powerless? Did he save you and I to watch us struggle and stagger through this life? Or did he redeem us to be a glory to his name? That's what he wants us to be. And he wants to do that work. So he says this, verse 21, and being fully persuaded of what he had promised, he was also able to perform, and therefore was imputed unto him for righteousness. That the word imputed there was put to his account, as also it has been put to your account and mine, the righteousness of God into our lives. That is the only reason any one of us will ever stand before the glory of God, redeemed and forgiven. It's because of his righteousness being imputed to our account, put to our account. So when the Lord looks at us, when we stand before the Lord God one day, he's going to see the righteousness of God that has been given to you and I. He's going to see his child that has been redeemed by the blood of his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our righteousness that he gave to you and I as joint heirs. It gives us the full right to be there. And Satan may say all that he can, and he does. He's the accuser of the brethren. But praise God that we stand before the Lord, not based upon what we have done, but on what God has done on our behalf. All right. So with that said, I want you to see that was for Abraham. But wait a minute. This same promise is for us. Look at verse 23. Now it was not written for his sake alone, that's Abraham, that it was imputed to him, but for us also. It was imputed to us. To whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Is your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? Is that who you trusted for your eternal life? Then notice he says this in verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Did you see how he said ours? He's saying, hey, listen, I want you to understand that the same situation that Abraham was in, we are also of that same promise. So this was the same promise that was of grace for Abraham. This was of the same promise that is also for you and I. And then I want you to understand, or God wants us to see here, that both of them are by the grace of God. And look at chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, now remember, this righteousness was imputed. It was given to Abraham. It was given to us. Then, therefore, you remember when you see therefore, you have to back up and say, why is that therefore? It's therefore, notice, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the same way as Abraham did, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So God has given that to you and I the same way he gave it to Abraham. And notice this, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Now listen, this is the faith part. So we understand some things by experience. So let me explain that. When you got saved, and it is different for everybody, you experienced the forgiveness of God to one degree or another. Everybody experiences differently. So somebody gets saved, you ever see them cry and weeping? Some people get saved and you ever hear them shout, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Got a big old ear-to-ear smile. Everybody experiences, there's an experience of the free pardon of God that they have received. There was an experience there. I don't know how to tell you any more than that, that there was an experience that they can go back to. But listen, there are the promises of God that we take by faith in spite of the experience. And sometimes, not all the times, but sometimes the experience will follow as we walk in that. In fact, I dare say God will confirm it by an experience. Sometime we go through a valley, we might call it, holding on to the promises of God, and then God will, all of a sudden there's light at the other side of our experience, and we see that God held us in his hand the whole time. Have you ever experienced that? You've gone through a dark period in your life, and God brings you through, and you say, God always had me. You didn't see it while you were going through it. While you were going through it, you hold on to the faith that God holds me in his hand. And then God brings the confirmation, yes, I was always in the hand of God. Do you believe that tonight? All right. So he says this, verse 3. Not only so, verse 3 in chapter 5, but we glory in tribulation also. Now I'll tell you this. God has to remind me to do that. Just in case you wondered. Tribulation, I've got to be reminded. If God doesn't remind me, I'm not going to glory in tribulations. I'll kick like the rest of anybody, right? Amen? God's got to bring that to my attention. Lord, you're doing this for my good. And he does, and he will. If we're walking with him, I will be reminded, if I'm being sensitive, if I started off my day with, Lord, I need you today. Lord, you must guide me this day. I need you, or I'm going to fail you, and I won't experience what you've set up for me this day. I will walk in the power of my own strength, and I am not going to succeed for your honor and glory. I can promise you that. I can look back every time in my life that I've walked in the power of my strength. I have never glorified the Lord. Here's another newsflash. There were some times that I thought in my own strength I did right by the Lord. I want you to know this. I know this now for sure. That did not glorify him either. Because when I thought I was successful in pulling something off for the Lord, I realized it was in a strength in the flesh, and God's not glorified by any of that. Okay. So verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. See, you don't even have to ask for patience. God's going to bring it. And notice this, and patience experience, and experience hope. So follow that through. Ready? So now all of a sudden, the tribulation comes. That's that coming to the place where we need to have in our hearts and minds that God has us in his hand. And I may not feel that way. Listen, I might be hurting, but Lord, I know you're holding me in your hands. And then we go through this tribulation and we wait until we come out on the other side. And then verse 4, and patience experience. What was that experience? And experience hope. God did have me in his hand. Remember we spoke about that just a little while ago? You look back from your experience and you see that God did hold me. Maybe there were times I thought God had forgotten me. You don't have to answer this. You ever felt that way? God had forgotten me. God, where are you? It's all right. Listen, Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, God really did turn his back on the Lord because of all of our sins. Listen, I don't understand it. It was the love of God that brought him to the cross because he knew what he was doing for you and I, the love of God. And God says, I want that love. I want you to understand what I gave you. Because what I gave you, if you will reflect on that, will bring you through. When we can look to the cross and look at that sacrifice that undeserving us were given by the grace of God. So now we have this hope, verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which he hath given unto us. Listen to that again. And hope maketh not ashamed. This is that experience after we come through that trial. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost confirms that we were in the hand of God, which is given unto us. Verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Now let that sink in here just a moment. For when we were yet without strength, in due time we picked up ourselves by our bootstraps. In due time Christ died for the ungodly. That's us. God did that. When? When we were without strength. When Abraham was without strength, God came to him with a promise. When you and I, listen, we're not strong. Our God is strong. Our God is the one who is strong. And he comes to us to help us in time of need. And the wonderful truth is, he never leaves us nor forsakes us. So how is it that we do not stagger at the promises of God? Simple answer, isn't it? God. The grace of God. As we seek the Lord, see, it's not just for the lost person. We must seek God daily to walk with him, or we'll fail. As we seek the Lord, Lord, I want to experience you. Now listen, so what happens with that? Here's how it works. We see ourselves as without strength. We might listen, the promise of God, this is the faith part, says he holds us in his hands. And so, Lord, help me to believe that. I believe, help thou mine unbelief to believe what your word has said. And I'm going to walk. I'm going to take a step in that. You're going to have to deny what your eyes are seeing and what your body is feeling and what the world and the flesh might be saying and look to the Word of God as the undeniable truth of the Word of God. That it supersedes everything I am thinking, feeling, or what the world might be saying. I'm going to choose to believe that, Lord. And it's okay and it's a good idea to say, God, I need you to help me to walk in that. So I'm going to walk in that. So is today a good day? Absolutely. Is every day a good day? In the Lord, we can rejoice always. Always. Why? Because if you're saved, you're a child of the King. You're a joint heir with Christ. And God works out how many things for your good? Oh, it's not just some? Not just most? 3/4? 99.9? It's all of it. All of it. So if we call upon the Lord each and every day and say, God, I need you, and then when we walk out through that day, can we not expect that all things will be for our good? They may be tough sometimes. Sometimes they're tough. But all things work together for good to them. Paul said that. Under the reign of Nero, being beat up, left for dead, shipwrecked, hungered, cold, wet. And he said, what a God I have. For me to live, what life is really all about is Christ. You know what Paul was able to do? get his eyes off of the things that are passing away. Now, the things that are passing away are not bad. They just don't shine when it comes to our God. Amen? How not to stagger at the promises of God? Ask God to make himself real to you. Ask God that he would walk with you. Amen? That you would walk with him. That he would give us his wisdom and his understanding. And that we would not be misled by the things that are temporal, by the things that are carnal, or by the world that's an enemy of God. Did you know that? Jesus said, the world hated me, and if it hated you, I'm sorry. Maybe not, because God said it'll hate you. So if the world is friends with you, you better check and see whose hand you have your hand in. Because it won't be the Lord's. God says we're going to have difficulties on this side of eternity, but God will never leave us nor forsake us. And we need God to help that be real in our hearts and minds. And we won't stagger at the promises of God. If we call on him daily, Lord, help me not to stagger. Help me to walk in confidence by your grace, not in my power, but in yours. And God will glorify himself in us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we thank you for the reminder that you've given to us in your word. And Lord, to us personally as your children. I pray, Lord, that you would bless the rest of the evening as we break off for prayer, that you would continue to open up our hearts and minds to hear from you, and Lord, that we would call upon you to fulfill your will in our lives. Again, bless and we'll thank you, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.